from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll find out what happens when Cumberland Arts goes to market.
And I'll get a preview of this year's Greek Fest.
I'll find out what's new this year for the Arts Council's Start With Art Luncheon, and we'll have our calendar of events we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Saturday, August 17th, marks the next Cumberland Arts Goes to Market Day, a series of family-friendly and arts-rich events on the Far East Side. Sharon Gamble invited organizer Tom Watkins in to learn more.
It's only 5 years ago this started, so remind me of how Cumberland Arts Goes to Market got started.
Well, thank you, Sharon. It's a delight to be here. So Cumberland Arts, which is a kind of an arts ministry, arts organization related to Cumberland First Baptist Church, has been around for over a decade now. We recently incorporated. So it has that kind of ministry feel, but also a feeling of kind of responsibility in the community. So this all goes on in the heart of an historic district, a conservation district in Cumberland, Indiana, along Washington Street, US 40, the National Road. And we've watched the revitalization of this gem of a little town through its conservation status. And we've worked right along with it on this festival. That is our fifth annual festival, and so we're really trying to make it a great one. We've got a lot of great things planned. We think of the whole thing as a celebration of art and community. And it's a collaboration with the town and the farmers market and our arts ministry. And the idea was we would take our ministry and march it, our arts program, and march it down the street.
Sure.
Cumberland Arts would go to market.
Okay.
And we've filled up the street. Now, this will be the fifth year we've done that. Lining Saturn Street, one off the main drag of US 40 Washington Street. So Cumberland Arts and the market have really been a boon in the area, I think. It's helped with the development of the Far East Side. It's also played a role, I think, in revitalizing business community as well. You know, we see this continual revitalization going on. We've got a wonderful streetscape now. We have the 3 Mile Pinzie Trail for bikers and walkers.
Sure.
And, of course, the growth of the farmers market. But it's also becoming, Sharon, a regional festival. This is the third year in a row we've been listed in the Indiana Festival Guide.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And we're really working to make it a draw to the area, to the east side.
Sure. And for people who are like, Cumberland, I should know where that is. It's not really that far east. If you're at Washington Square Shopping Center area, it's a stone's throw east of that.
Yeah, maybe a couple stone throws if you've got a good arm.
If you got a soft arm,
you go
arm,
out to
yeah.
German Church, and then the other, milestone out there is the Myers store. And just beyond the Myers store, you see the real main street of old Cumberland.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's right. Very accessible. And at this festival, this fifth annual, we anticipate over 2,500 visitors, which
for us
is really good. From our meager beginnings, we'll have over 100 booths, arts and crafts vendors. We'll also have businesses participate, some not-for-profits, and we encourage everyone to come who has a booth with some kind of art component if they can. Plus, on the town end, we have the 30 to 40 farmers market booths, and we just line everything together and make a great streetscape. We're adding an entertainment stage this year, so we'll have two. We have the Shirley Brothers Pavilion, and then we'll have another stage down on what we call the Speedway end of it. And
the Speedway end. Say more about
it doesn't sound like a race connection. It's actually not. All it is, it's a Speedway store with a wonderful grassy area.
Okay,
and,
got
it. And it makes actually just a lovely place to stop. It's one of the places we put food trucks and food tents.
Sure.
So there, you know, you can come and you can dine and you can hear live music while you do it on both ends.
Now, are the stages differentiated as one more folk and one more classical or pop? Or,
you know, that's
or is it just a nice assortment at both?
Yeah, really, it is. It is a mix-up
of
things. And I'll be really happy to tell you some about the entertainment because it's crazy about how this is developed. This year, it's almost Cumberland Arts goes convention. So we've got three groups who are often involved in conventions. Wax Chaotic is one of them. This is kind of a pair of lyrical storytellers who put their own twist on folk music, and they do sci-fi and fantasy kinds of things and kind of weave them into real world events. Another one is called Herculean Cheese Storm. Now, who wouldn't want to come out and watch that? You know, well.
Oh, that's going to rival my favorite band name, which up until now has been Leftover Salmon.
I'm really glad to give you, you know, some competition.
Herculean Cheese Storm.
Right. It's an acoustic folk rock band.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Can't you tell by the name?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they do music about, you know, topics like Wonderland and flying kangaroos, and you get the idea.
Yeah, sure. Crazy. Sounds like a blast.
And then another one is Wild Mercy. And Wild Mercy is the band in which a dear friend of mine plays harp, and that's Jennifer Midkiff, who's all over town doing all kinds of things. And again, they do conventions, but they do other things. They're also very, I'll say, eclectic. And they bring kind of a neo-Celtic powered, this is their phrase, post-industrial electro-acoustic folk rock with jazz influences and freeform choral structure thing to the stage. Try to think about that.
If that were in German, that would be a really, really long word.
It really, really would indeed. Yeah. But they're influenced by everything from Hildegard of Bingen to Lorena McKennitt, a Canadian singer.
Okay. So. Now I can hear it just based on those examples.
And that's just all on one part of one stage.
Sure.
So we have a lot of good things going on.
How do you find your artists and your craft vendors?
A lot of the, well, I'll say the craft vending end of it, which is primary, this is really the work of Daniel Hurt Hartman, who is a marvelous singer around town, symphonic choir, just, you know, doing all kinds of things. But when it comes to organizing this event, the music for this event, I'm sorry, the art and craft for this event, she's fabulous. And So word of mouth returns. We have people just constantly people who've been here before who want to come back. And really, when it comes to music and entertainment, it's just the people we know.
Sure.
It's word of mouth. So, for instance, we have a jazz band called the Jerry Millman Band. Who knew? And this is just kind of a pickup jazz band with, you know, tenor saxes and alto saxes, trumpets, trombones, and they play here and there. But they're a real fun group. And then I have to say a word about our overall organizer, Sarah Bowers. Sarah really runs the show. She has her finger in every pie. She's as detail-oriented as anyone I've ever known. And we would not be able to pull off this event and connect all the dots without Sarah Bowers.
You know, it's a shame, really, that it's over in just one day when you think about how many hours go into the... Because, you know, what people who just attend events and have never volunteered for one or helped organize one may not be aware of is it can be almost a full-time job for almost the year out from the event.
You know, and now when our big festivals have rain, my heart goes out to them because now I know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. But it's going to be a beautiful day
yours.
So,
Always is.
That's good because you have a plein air painting component this year.
We do indeed. We're going to have some plein air artists who are going to come and set up their easels, and they're going to paint the town, they'll paint the festival. If you get too close, they might paint you, you know, so be careful.
But they might sell you a painting of yourself.
That would be
that's the goal.
That would be good. That is the goal, yeah. So we're really excited to see what they come up with as another way to remember a festival that is, after only one day, we want to commemorate it
sure,
with art.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you doing a run associated with this year's event?
This is going to be the second annual Cumberland Run, a 5K run walk. It's along the Pennsy Trail. It highlights the Pennsy, and it kind of kicks off the day. along that Pinzi Trail is what's called the Solar System Project, which I mentioned this, I think, last time I was here with you, Sharon. It's on a 1 to 1 billion scale solar system with all of the planets laid out. So you can run and walk and visit the universe, well, visit the solar system anyway, all the way out and then all the way back. And then come over for croissants and breakfast and begin to view the festival.
Yeah, let's talk about food.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned food trucks and, of course, as you mentioned, dozens or scores, actually, of farmers bringing their wares to market.
That's
help remind
right.
us some of the things that might be in season.
Well,
in
I'll
late
tell
August.
You, the farmers market will have obviously a variety of fresh fruit and vegetables. They also do, farm-raised meats and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the vending, we're going to be having some of the usual suspects and then some of our own. But so, for instance, we're working on food trucks this year as well. We have Chef Dan's coming, which is kind of ubiquitous, and they do the Louisiana style food. They do the shrimp po' boys. We have Gypsy Cafe if you like barbecue chicken or pork and Cuban sandwiches. We have, I think, for the third or fourth year in a row, the Indiana Buddhist Center, and they're bringing Indiana curry chicken this year.
Really?
They do great
That's
food.
That's intriguing.
Yeah, it is great. It's an East Side Buddhist Center, and we've collaborated with them on some other ventures, and it always involves great Indian-style food.
Hmm.
And then, New York slice, the big slice, the big New York mm-hmm. style. And then fair food, Memories Concessions will bring the Elephant Ears and Soladine will bring the funnel cakes, but also, pork tenderloins, walking tacos, which is, always fun, lemon shakeups and all of that. And then if you have a sweet tooth, Two Sisters Cakery and Bakery, they'll do some breakfast scones and donuts, and then they'll transition to cupcakes. And have all kinds of cupcakes.
Sure, because, that's what we do with sugar. We evolve how we consume it throughout the day.
This is not a health conscious day.
It sounds to me like people better do the 5K run along the Pinzi Trail.
Yeah, maybe before and after.
Yeah, right.
A few hours after, anyway. And then, of course, we'll have the traditional Baptist bake sale, which is,
which does not comprise baked Baptists, one hopes.
We hope not. Yeah, we hope not. Yeah, so.
So how do you know? Tell me how it feels at the end of the day when everything's torn down. How do you know it's been a success, this festival?
Buzz. You feel it.
Yeah.
There are certain parts of the day, and typically this happens, Sharon, around late morning, early afternoon, when I'll be busy doing things. In fact, I will say that the Irish band in which I play Irish ears will be doing a couple of sets.
Good.
As well.
That's a tradition.
And then my friend, the harpist Jen Midkiff, and I will also be doing a duo, which we kind of fell into last year almost accidentally when a group
Ooh.
Wrapped up early. It's like, tell you what, I got my fiddle, you got your harp, let's just jam. And we did. And so we're going to
What tune did you choose?
We did traditional Irish tunes.
Of course.
Of course, we ended with a Shokan Farewell, which is not Irish, but might as well be.
Yeah.
And we did waltzes and we did some jigs and reels, we don't even have a set list, but it'll all come together. It always does. But there are times when I can, either look up from the stage or other things I'm involved in and just look down the street and I just see this whole experience of community buildings around the arts. I mean, to me, and I think you'll appreciate this, that for us, the art and the heart of the matter is the way that arts help communities flourish. When a community gathers around the arts, quality of life soars. And at the end of the day, you know it. Because it's something that it was a vibe through the day and you carry it away even as you're tearing down.
It's still palpable.
And you're already thinking, well, maybe, a week out from that, you're thinking about the next year. Yeah.
Sharon Gamble with Tom Watkins. Cumberland Arts Goes to Market is Saturday, August 17th, and you can learn more on Facebook.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. This year's Greek Fest is earlier in the season and an extra day longer. Travis DiNicola spoke with committee member Mike Hendricks, volunteer Chris Perry, and Greek Fest marketing oracle Mary Lee Pappas to find out more.
Mary Lee, Mike, Chris, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you guys here.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. So Greek Fest, a little bit earlier, a little bit longer, but better than ever, I'm sure.
Of course.
Right, Mary Lee, of course.
Absolutely. Always better than ever.
Always better than ever. Let me chat with some of these new guys a little bit about Greek Fest. Mike, I know that you're a committee member. How'd you get involved with Greek Fest?
Probably like 10 years ago when I, married into the family. And I just kind of, I think it was kind of a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
When I said I do, I just kind of,
married into a Greek family. And...
Yeah, I had to do something with the Greek festival. So my father-in-law actually was in charge of running it for numerous years. And I just kind of followed him around for the last few years. And then he finally decided he was done. And then I just kind of stepped up and...
Cool.
So,
mm-hmm.
Took and, over his role, so.
And that Excellent. Would be the wonderful Tony Phillips.
Yes, it would.
Former chair. Yes.
and how's that going for you so far?
It's going good. It's going good. It has definitely been a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, this is an all-volunteer event.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. It's been going really well. We're really excited about this year, and with the newer date and mm-hmm. moving it up and the third day and everything.
Yeah.
We're definitely excited about it and hoping.
So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this year. That should make a big difference.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Good. And Chris, how about you? How you're a volunteer with this. How'd you get roped into this?
Well, I've been going to the church pretty much my entire life, mm-hmm. and the family that Mike married into is my family.
Well, there you go.
So we both just kind of got thrown into it. He's on the committee, and I pretty much am his right-hand man when it comes to getting ready for it. So
I mean, this is definitely a family affair. It's a church affair. It's a cultural affair. I mean, how important is, I mean, Greek Fest to you guys? I mean, kind of like you mark your calendar off on this and every year, I mean, kind of getting ready for it
it's
and stuff.
It's kind of like the month of May.
I
kind of mark off the entire month. I mean, that's really, yeah. I mean, there's so many behind the scenes things that nobody really sees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, I've always enjoyed about it is, at the end of the festival, you can sit back and go, wow, we did that.
Yeah.
And put it on. So and it's definitely it's a year-round thing that, you got to get ready for. I mean, I start making phone calls in January and just getting people lined up. And this year has definitely been...
More food, more entertainment, more everything, really.
Yeah, and this year, like I said, we've really kind of stepped out, I would say kind of stepped out of our comfort zone a little bit and kind of experimented with, new vendors and mm-hmm. different foods and stuff like that. So, and different vendors and trying to get the production up and running. So from the challenge aspect, that's where it's really been challenging this year is working with new people, working with some of the, veteran people that we have been working with for years. So it's been fun. Yeah. And keeping everybody happy.
Yeah. And
which is difficult to do.
One of those happy new things is the vegetarian pasticcio on the menu.
Yes.
So, yes.
One thing that we're going to try to do this year is...
tell me about that. I mean, because that's a new thing, right?
Yeah, we're going to make a couple of pans of pastizo and vegetarian pastizo, which mm-hmm. is like a Greek lasagna.
Okay.
It's very popular, but sometimes it's not. It's one of those things where, we've experimented in the past and it's hit or miss.
But you guys, I mean, to be fair, there's been maybe not as many vegetarian options in the past.
Correct. I mean, we've had the mezze tint, which is a lot of appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
You got your hummus and your spicy feta spread and your tzatziki sauce and
pita
bread.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're adding a little bit more things.
Yeah.
We're adding a like a red pepper. Hummus, I think.
Okay.
And then maybe a garlic feta or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is. But we're adding a few more things. We're also adding a vegetarian dolmada, which is a the grape leaf
mm-hmm.
with the meat in it and the rice. But this one, of course, will not have the meat in it.
Sure.
So there's a couple of different things that we're trying out this year, and we're not going overboard with it. We're just going to try it out and see how it works and, hopefully draws in a different crowd that maybe thought they couldn't come to the Greek festival, because when you think of Greek, you think of lamb. So
you do, and wrong with that either.
Exactly. So, maybe there's some people that have been turned off in the past because of that. So we're hoping,
so it's a whole new festival.
Yeah.
In some ways. Mary Lee, give me the basic rundown, when and where it is and all that sort of stuff. And because it's free, right? Free admission.
It is free this year. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary of Greek Fest. And we are, the festival is taking place at the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, which is 3500 West 106th Street in Carmel. You'll see the big gold dome.
Mm-hmm, it's beautiful.
Yeah, 3 days this year. Friday, August the 23rd, 4 to 11 p.m. Saturday, August the 24th, noon to 11 p.m. And then Sunday, noon to 5. So
cool.
3 days of lots of food. Talking about the food, we have a downloadable menu on our website, so you can check out the food and the prices before you go.
Excellent. And drink, too. We don't want to...
Oh, lots of drink. Lots of drink.
can't forget that.
No, six spectacular Greek wines that are listed on the website as well. Whites, reds, and then a wonderful port. Really flavorful. St. John, it's very raisiny and sweet. A good dessert wine to pair with the pastry. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a couple of Greek beers, but we'll have local craft beers this year.
Nice.
Amber ale from Flat 12. We'll have a selection from Oak and Barrel and a selection from Sun King. So we're really excited about that. Their beers pair really well with the beautiful sunshine we are going to have.
Of course you will.
Yeah, and with the food.
Now let me ask you this, because in the past there were tickets. Is that right? So this is new that it's free admission?
It's new that it's free admission. Yeah. However, we do have pre-sale coupon books available at Marsh, $20 and $50 pre-sale coupon books. Again, you can go to the website and find out which Marsh supermarkets to go to for that.
And that gives you basically like a little bonus for getting food and all the other good stuff.
Absolutely. It comes with a free parking voucher. We will have on the grounds $5 parking, but there will be free parking with shuttle. But you get that primo parking.
But then, there you go.
For free. If you buy the coupon book.
And Mike, by having free admission, that obviously is going to encourage a lot of people who maybe, thought twice about coming before and like, yeah, now I'll go check it out, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a big deal. And that was another big reason why we changed the date as well, because there was a lot of activities going on on our old date.
Mm-hmm. Because it used to be right at the end of August.
It was always the weekend after Labor Day.
Okay. Always. Yeah, and there was a lot going on that weekend.
There was a lot of things going on, and we thought, let's change it up a little bit. We kind of went back to.
It was like Penrod and Ballet and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, and then there was the Zionsville, there was the thing over there. Doing the free admission, we kind of went back to our roots a little bit and said, what did we do 40 years ago?
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, it was free.
Nice.
And we said, well, let's do it.
Very cool. So, Chris, your family's been a part of this. You've been a part of this a long time. What do you look forward to the most each year?
Honestly, the whole thing. Like Mike said, this is a very long process. We... start in January, and once that week comes down prior to the festival, it's a lot of fun setting up and getting ready for it. And then when it actually starts, just seeing what all we've done and getting it all put together and everything runs smoothly, it's a great weekend. It is.
Now, of course, there is more than just Greek food at Greek Fest. I don't want to forget that, right? There are other there's entertainment. There's a lot of great stuff about, the tours of the church and information about Greek culture.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And something really that everybody could enjoy this year, really unique to see, especially in Indianapolis. We have new iconography written on the walls on the inside of the church that was done this last year by iconographers that came in from Greece and did this. So the whole dome is newly written, newly painted.
Okay.
And it's pretty spectacular, very unique, something you really can't see anywhere else. And there will be church tours. Happening about every hour. Again, you can go to the website to get a list of those church tour times.
Sure.
We'll have the Holy Trinity Hellenic Dance Troupes.
IndieGreekFest.org.
IndieGreekFest.org. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome.
But the dance troupes perform every year. Everybody looks forward to that.
Yeah, of course.
So the times are on the website. We have a fantastic musician named George Karras who will be joining us with his band performing live traditional Greek dance folk music.
Really fun stuff. Very fun.
It's totally fun.
Yeah, high energy, just crazy stuff.
Doesn't matter if you know the steps. Get up and shake it.
I wing it. but not to mention, we have a kids tent with some kids activities. I know there's going to be a puppet show there. Lots of little games for them. There will also be a cooking demo tent we've got some parishioners that will be, kind of releasing some of their secrets on how they make things.
That's pretty excellent.
Those are probably going to be scheduled about every hour and a half, something like that. I know one person is going to be showing how to make spanakopita, Greek salad, just other, other Greek dishes. And then new this year, we're actually going to do a Greek or a cultural education tent. Okay. It's going to be mainly, just kind of educating people on Greece and maybe where families came from. Mm-hmm. It kind of got brought up one evening that, I made the comment that I had no idea where my in-laws were from.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to another person at the church, and it kind of got molded together. And actually, it was the other person's idea, but then it kind of evolved from there. It's going to be interesting. We're going to kind of go back, a few centuries and show how Greece was started. And, there's supposed to be a slideshow and... the dancewear, I think they're going to have, like a display of the Hellenic troops dancewear and what it resembles, at least in that part. Because in different parts in Greece, everything's different.
Sure.
So it'll be kind of educational and pretty interesting to see.
That sounds great. That's very cool that you guys are doing that. I mean, that's the type of thing that can be fascinating, whether you have Greek heritage or not.
Just absolutely. Sort of, and I still don't know where my in-laws are from. So I can't wait for the festival to start so I can find them on the map.
Very cool. Anything else that you guys want to make sure we get in terms of talking about Greek Fest and all the good stuff going on?
Come. It's going to be fun this year.
Celebrate, eat, drink, dance.
It's like a big picnic.
Learn.
There's plenty of room for everyone. Our festival is very comfortable. Lots of room to sit and enjoy and relax your food. Even though we entertain thousands and thousands of people, and we feed thousands and thousands of people, it's a very comfortable, easy environment where you can really sit and enjoy your food, luxuriate with your Greek pastry and wine.
So, it sounds like you guys are probably in pretty good shape this year, but looking at you guys and sort of the sense I get about how much time and effort you put into volunteering, and how much you enjoy it, you guys are always looking for new volunteers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Anybody wants to come out and help?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah? Cool. Okay. So, it sounds like a good way to get involved then, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's how we got, at least that's how I got involved. It was like, hey, cool, I get to...
That's what happens when you marry into your
family. At least with my family's booth, they said you get to light things on fire. So I was like, oh, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they did the flaming, their family
we
does
the saganaki.
Cheese, the saganaki.
Oh, cool,
booth.
Right.
So, yeah. There's an appeal
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we can't guarantee the volunteers will get to work in that booth, but,
fair enough.
They'll just have to stand and be jealous.
They can watch.
Well, thank you guys very much. Have a great Greek Fest. Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with the Greek Fest's Mike Hendricks, Chris Perry, and Mary Lee Pappas. The fest takes place August 23rd through the 25th. Admission is free, and you can get more information at IndieGreekFest.org. IndieGreekFest.org. Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
Are you thinking about Sirius?
Sirius?
Not the radio subscription service.
You mean the dog star. Because dog days of summer. Aren't you clever?
It's almost that time.
Wow, that's right. Right. That's where it gets its name from. Not just because it's like hot that makes you pant like a dog, but actually it actually comes from the constellations.
We're all getting our poodle haircuts, our summer poodle haircuts.
Oh my, yes. Yes, I am thinking, I'm very serious about this.
Oh, good to know. Mm-hmm. Well, we have some things that you can do to cool off on our calendar that we call
What Will We Do?
What do you got?
Well, we are smack dab, of course, in the middle of state fair time.
Indeed.
And, you should inject a little culture into your state fair along with those Twinkies and corn dogs and
popcorn.
And carnival games and popcorn. That's right. You're the popcorn and all that stuff. So I suggest checking out Rita Cohn's Rich Lives, a Reader's Theater play that she has put together based on Voices of American Homemakers, a 20th Century Oral History Project of the National Homemakers Council and Indiana Humanities, edited by Eleanor Arnold. And this is a play about, well, the voices of homemakers, and that's where it comes from, and features a lot of great local actresses. And performances are at the Indiana State Fair's Pioneer Village, August 11th at noon, the 13th at 11 and 1 p.m., and the 14th at 10 a.m. and noon. It's free with admission to the State Fair and worth checking out, and you can get a little culture as part of your State Fair.
Speaking of culture, this does not take place at the State Fair, but the Philharmonic Orchestra of Indianapolis is looking for string players. Auditions are going to be held on Saturday, August 17th, and you can find out more about what you need to do to secure an appointment to audition and what you need to prepare for your audition at their website, which is philharmonicindy.org. You can also get a sneak preview of their programming, their repertoire for the upcoming season to see if there's anything really scary coming up that you want to challenge yourself with before
I'm
you go for the audition.
We're talking about like full stringed instruments, not just like a piece of twine, right?
Because
I could play that.
Think
but, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go to the website and check it out. Hey, there might be.
You just never know. Yes. Well, if you haven't already, definitely check out Spineless. It's the annual book art show that's taking place all month long at the Harrison Center. Very, very fun annual book show that they do of book art featuring lots of really cool work. And what a great title this year, Spineless.
Spineless. I love that. Hey, the Indiana State Museum Docent Program is looking for some new enthusiastic volunteers to apply. They do their docent training and volunteer orientation by classes, and they're looking for people to be part of the fall 2013 class. Applications are due on Monday, September 2nd, and you can go to indianamuseum.org to find out what is required. And it's a pretty flexible gig, and you can give a few hours or a lot of hours, depending on how many hours you have to give. So Indiana State Museum Docent Program, looking for enthusiastic volunteers. Applications due Monday, September 2nd.
I've heard there's still some tickets available for Smokey Robinson. He's going to be performing on August 31st at the Palladium. That should be a great concert. Very, very fun to see a part of their summer series that's wrapping up their summer with Smokey Robinson at the Palladium August 31st.
Very nice. Hey, it is time for you to get your second half of August organized by going to indiefringe.org and figuring out which fringe shows you want to see.
So many,
that's right. Fringe Festival coming up August 15th through the 25th. You might remember last week you heard about Gail Payne's cabaret show, La Vie L'Amour. And something else that's kind of on my radar screen is The Solidarity, which is a new play by Casey Ross, a local author. It's about the reawakening of a man who, like many, has become lost in repetition. It's about Lloyd, who's an aging barista who meets his match when his cafe is purchased by Antelope Coffee. He's forced to hire Ben, a hopeful and unpredictable new bean jockey. Faced with something completely new, Lloyd reclaims his humanity and, more importantly, hope in a play that truly believes no man is an island. That's a lot to accomplish in a play that's less than an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. So just one example of something coming up during Indie Fringe.
Very good. Hey, Warm Fest, very cool event. It's the first year for it. Labor Day weekend. It's a music festival that's going to be benefiting the Broad Ripple waterfront. Warm Fest, what does that stand for? White River Art and Music Festival. And it's a three-day event with five stages. And they keep on adding more and more acts. I think there's over 50 groups now performing. And it's a mix of national, regional, local talent. There's going to be jazz. There's funk. There's rap. There's folk. There's rock. About every type of music you can think of is going to be there, as well as some really fun groups like Blue Monkey Sideshow. Looking forward to this. It should be a great event. You can see the full lineup, or at least what it is today, because they keep on adding something like every day, if you go to warmfest.org. That's warmfest.org. Very, very cool stuff. It's going to be at the Broad Ripple Park in Indianapolis over Labor Day.
Hey, don't forget this Friday and Saturday night at White River State Park. It's Heart in the Park, Heartland Actors Repertory Theater producing Taming of the Shrew at White River State Park. They have a new sound system and also new reserved seating. Don't know if there are any seats left, but you can find out more at their website. There's also pre-performance entertainment going on, some pop music, some classical music, and as they say, much, much more. Taming of the Shrew this Friday and Saturday at White River State Park.
Very cool. Hey, last thing I just want to mention, Sharon, summer film nights continue at the IMA. This weekend, it's Hoosiers. Next weekend, The Big Sleep.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Those are quite different.
That's very different.
My last item is the Bean Blossom Blues Fest, the biggest jam fest in the Midwest. It is on Thursday, August 22nd, running through Sunday, August 25th. So much going on. Food, nice things to drink, as well as, of course, wall-to-wall blues music.
There you go. Well, we will be back next week with more wall-to-wall ideas of what to do with that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Indy's annual Business and Arts Family Reunion, Start With Art, is on Friday, August 23rd at the Indianapolis Marriott downtown. Sharon Gamble invited Dave Lawrence, president of the Arts Council of Indianapolis, the parent organization of the event, into our studios to find out about this year's speaker, Jono Bacon, and also about a recent Power to Give milestone.
So, Start With Art is starting its second quarter of a century of existence. That seems hard to believe.
Can you believe that?
I've talked to several people. In fact, I was at a Indianapolis Arts Consortium meeting recently where I talked to a woman who was at the very first one, and she couldn't believe she'd been at 25 already. She said, I have never missed one. Never missed one. So, remind us, what does the Start With Art luncheon mean to the community? What is it a marker of?
It is the kickoff of the arts season. We always refer to it as the big family reunion for the arts. Everyone has been sort of squirreled away in the summer months planning next season and getting ready. And so it's a chance to come up for air and see everybody and share in the excitement of all of the great stuff that's going to happen for the upcoming season in the arts community.
Absolutely. And is it still the original idea was about half business community, about half artists and arts administrators. Is that math still kind of apply?
Yeah, you know, I think in a lot of communities, they just simply call them the business and arts luncheons. Indianapolis being who we are, we needed to be a little bit more creative with that. So that's where Start With Art came from. But yeah, it's a very good mix of corporate and community leaders as well as artists and organizations. And this is a very informal poll around the country, this is one of the largest of its kind of
wow.
these events. So it's a big deal here.
How do you account for that?
I think just because it's the longevity of the event, the quality of the speakers, there's always something interesting to, a good takeaway, something to think about. It's just, I think a really fun afternoon.
I want to talk about this year's speaker, but before I do that, I want to talk about the Arty Awards. Do a lot of other communities do something similar to the Arty Awards?
They do. In some communities, they're called the Mayor's Arts Awards, or they give business volunteer awards and all of that. And I've been digging and digging. This will be my 15th Start With Art. And,
oh, my.
I've been digging to try to figure out where Arty, A-R-T-I, which is how it's spelled, Arty Awards, where that came from. I have no idea.
I always always assumed it was an acronym, but I've never really parsed it out.
I know we've tried to make it an acronym, and I got to work on that some more.
Arts really take initiative.
Oh, see, there you go.
Okay, you may send your suggestions to artofthematter@wfyi.org, and we'll pass them on to Dave and the Arts Council. So the four categories of Artie Awards are?
There's actually five now. We have a corporate Artie Award, a small business, a volunteer patron, we're calling it the Larry Hurt Memorial Arts Educator Artie Award.
This will be the third year for that. That's right.
And then we also have the Artful Impact Award for the big event that everybody has been talking about this past year in the arts.
What are some past examples of that?
Well, the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, I believe, won the inaugural one when we introduced that a few years ago. And the 100 Acres at the IMA was a recipient as well. And also Connor Prairie's Emancipation, it was so critical at that point to make sure that they could expand and be who they are today. So
sure.
That was a big celebration and win for the entire community.
Of course, we can't tell you who's winning the Artie Awards this year because you have to come to the luncheon to find out on August 23rd at the Marriott downtown. But are you allowed to say who the artist is who's designing the actual awards?
Yes, that is Kip Normand.
Oh, cool.
Creative Renewal Fellow.
Yeah.
He has a studio at the Harrison Center and does wonderful sort of mixed media assemblage pieces. And I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
Oh, me either. That I can see the gears turning over his head over the last few months as he thought about that. So one of the great things about Start With Art is it's one of the few places where our arts community of more than 75 not-for-profit arts organizations, thousands of individual independent artists, as well as board members, donors, business supporters, public servants. It's one of the few places where all of these people are in the same room at the same time. And I have the sense that there's a lot of understanding that just happens in that time period when people are finding their table and being introduced to people they didn't know before.
I think there's such a wonderful energy and electricity in the room every year. And it is that excitement and that melding of people from seemingly different worlds that all come together to show their support and celebrate the arts community here in Indianapolis. And it's one of the few times we all wish there were more that, you know, the arts are front and center and
right.
We're celebrating everything that they're doing. And I think that that is another one of the very powerful messages that comes out of Start
With Art. Oh my gosh, we can have a closing event at the end of the season, end with art. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to wish one more project on you. That was a joke.
Let me get through this one first.
That was a joke. One of the great things about coming to Start With Art is somehow, and I don't know how you have done this over 25, going into 26 years, you find speakers who are the next voice that we want to pay attention to, people who are emerging, who aren't, you know, super famous necessarily around the world yet, but who are on their way. And this year's speaker, Jono Bacon,
Jono. I just found that out this morning.
Okay.
I had to do a little research.
Yeah, thank you. Is a guy who, it sounds like, lives kind of at the intersection of technology and music and community. Is that a fair assessment?
That's great, yes.
How did you learn about him?
I found his book, The Art of Community, and it was talking about, let me back up for just a moment. We have a very technology-heavy theme this year, so that was sort of the impetus of the beginning of the conversation. We're going to have some fairly exciting things to announce that day, technology-wise, that will truly impact the arts in a new way here in Indianapolis. So that was sort of the impetus for looking for somebody that had sort of a technology bent or an interesting technology message. And I think that what we try to do all the time in the arts is build community, find ways to bring more folks to arts activities and involve them in arts experiences. So this idea of community building and technology, and Jono's name came up, and we were off to the races.
It's so interesting to live in a time when, you know, if you were somewhere in school, if you read about culture a couple of thousand years ago or so, the ideal was a well-rounded person. So the person would love athletics and arts, would love math and science and literature. And then we got so specialized, and now we're all trying to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to say, no, I'm not just a tech nerd.
That's right.
I'm not just an ivory tower artist. I can also write an app for an iPhone that tells you something about my art. So is that a little bit what Jono's going to be addressing?
Yes. He's going to talk about building community through the use of technology. And one of the things I said to him, I've spoken to him several times in preparation for this, and I said, you have such an interesting mix of left brain and right brain work that I think that's really where there's the intersection of left brain and right brain. There's some creative thinking there that I hope that folks will be really inspired by what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. He's a consultant. He's worked with Deutsche Bank, IBM, Dyson, Mozilla, National Finishing Contractors Association, SAP. These are big, you know, giant multinational corporations. And it's so interesting to me that somebody who, if you look at his website, he's not a guy in a suit.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with guys in suits. You're wearing one right now, and you listeners may be wearing one right now. But he's a pretty casual-looking guy who looks like he lives in San Francisco.
Yes.
And it feels like we're seeing people, more traditional corporations, take risks on consulting and training that don't look like they used to.
Yeah, and I think, too, this notion of you can find inspiration and ideas from anywhere, and it might not be just the people in the suits that can provide you that next great idea, that next great thought that's really going to transform the way you do business or the way that you reach community and build community. So that was one of the things that I really liked about him, too, was, you know, he's in this very tech savvy and high energy corporate environment, and yet he's, you know, he doesn't look like that. And, you know, he's a rock musician as well.
Yeah.
And so he's just, there's a lot of interesting components to him.
In a band through called Severed Fifth, which kind of scares me. I assume there's a commentary on harmony in there, but I'm not. We'll learn more at the Start With Art Luncheon. Hey, speaking of great ideas, you recently passed a milestone with a great idea that actually started in Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we adopted as our own Power to Give. New milestone?
We did just hit a new milestone yesterday. We surpassed $100,000 raised through the platform. Power to Give is an online crowdsourcing platform similar to Kickstarter or Donors Choose, but this is specific to arts and cultural organizations. And we have, in just 7 short months, raised...
I was going to say, it hasn't even been live for a year.
Not even a year. And we've raised $100,000 from 1,100 donors. And we're just thrilled with the results so far. And what's great is that folks can go on to Power to Give and give a dollar, give $100, whatever they feel comfortable for, and they can search the projects and find something that they're really passionate about. And I think that it's become another powerful tool for arts organizations to use to get projects funded and do more great things in the arts.
I think what's significant about those numbers, too, if you weren't doing the math in your heads, $100,000 in 7 months may not sound like, well, okay, is that a lot of money? But it's not like one donor gave $75,000 of that $100,000.
Correct.
And when you consider what is the average donation?
I believe it's around $60 to $65.
Yeah.
So not huge. And the other thing that I have to say, I have to give a lot of praise and thanks to Chase, who was our founding partner, who on many of these projects has matched each dollar for dollar. So every dollar you give, it's doubled. And that's really helped us get there, too. So Chase has been a wonderful founding partner for the platform, and it's it's helped us get to this goal so quickly.
I love just browsing the projects because they're so creative. WFYI has had a Power to Give project to acquire a certain kind of new camera for mm-hmm. the TV side to go out and shoot things in the field. There are projects having to do with things like new costumes. Our costumes are old and falling apart and smelly. Can you help us raise money to get new costumes? And it's great because those of us who work in the arts and do traditional fundraising can be a little stuffy. And mm-hmm. there's a certain kind of grantees language you use when you're talking to prospective funders because it's pretty serious. You have to have a fair amount of gravitas in going for that funding. Whereas Power to Give gives people this kind of free rein to try something fun and something new.
Absolutely. And I think what we're seeing on the site is the organizations and projects that are having the most success are those that are not taking themselves too seriously and
sure.
having some fun with it. There's been some really creative little videos that have been made about the project. And I think that that's where, you know, if you can have fun and be honest with really what you need, and if the costumes smell, it might be time for new ones. And somebody might say, you know what, I had to wear smelly costumes in high school too. I'll give you some money and you're off, you know, then you've got a new contributor there. So it's, I think you're exactly right. If you can find that sort of sense of humor, sometimes it can help.
And it's a great gateway to get, as you just said, new people in the door. And then it's up to the organizations how to re-engage those folks and how
That's
to lure
right.
them to come see the show that the new fresh-smelling costumes are used in.
Exactly. It's not just what we're seeing is it's not just a fundraising platform, but also a visibility platform and a way for folks to talk about their events and programs and concerts. And it's harnessing the power of social media to make that happen. And so we've seen some really great results.
Sharon Gamble with Dave Lawrence, president of the Arts Council of Indianapolis. Start with Art is Friday, August 23rd at the Indianapolis Marriott downtown. You can find out more about the event and get your tickets at indiearts.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a taste of Dig In.
Yum. Mm-hmm. Well, I will find out what the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art is up to right now, which is quite a lot.
Mm. And then Melissa Davis is going to be a guest producer with us with a segment about a Fringe Act.
Very good. And then, of course, we'll have that arts calendar we call.
What'll we do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.